creativity can help us become who we want to be. And the creative project of podcast has definitely changed who I am, like, hands down. And like, so if you were to think about 2017 David, 2016 David, like, way different than 2024 David. I think that that's beautiful.
Welcome to Lessons in Creativity, where we'll explore the creative process across different disciplines and learn how to harness this natural part of our human experience. I'm Jenna Massey, your host and fellow student. In this episode, I spoke with David Nabinsky. David is the host of the 300-plus episode Portfolio Career Podcast, the community manager for the Chief of Staff Network, and a community builder for Community Builders in New York City. In the episode, David talks about how his personal project of consistently publishing a weekly podcast over the last 6 years has transformed his life and allowed him the creativity to evolve formats and experiment with in-person events in New York City, like podcast mixers and mini conferences. David is such a great example and resource to anyone who's looking to reimagine or intentionally design their life. I've been fortunate enough to attend many of his events and I'm so grateful for him. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
David, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to have you. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jenna. Excited to be here too. Excited to chat with you. Excited to talk all things creativity and learn from you.
Likewise. All right. So I want to start by taking you back to your childhood and thinking about David Nabinsky around the ages of 7, 8, 9. And as you think back to yourself around that age, in what ways did creativity come out?
Creativity mostly came out then in the form of video games. It was like kind of like my first memory of this. But candidly, like, I don't think that I was, and I know maybe other people think this too, but I don't really think I was that creative as a kid. I think that my creativity has been developed and kind of like earned and grown over time. But younger, I think I saw some, or I was reflecting on some aspects of that playing video games. And an example of that would be like, I would, particularly related to like a football game, I would really like move players around and make a lot of substitutions. I would change up formations. I would even take like players that were supposed to be on defense and substitute them into offense because like they were really fast. And so like, yeah, just kind of thinking outside of the box and just trying different things in the confines of like what was allowed or legal. But yeah, definitely like, my friends growing up like would laugh and about some of the different formations or approaches or substitutions that I used to do. They were all legal, but yeah, I was trying to win. So that's definitely something that comes to mind. But again, like
creative approach to the rules, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know. Maybe there's things that how we could apply that to like what we do now. Like, I don't know what comes to mind for you, but maybe there's like something that you do that you're like, okay, there's a traditional approach here, but like I do this and it's totally legal. It's totally allowed. And that's what I do.
Well, and I love that you said that your creativity has been developed and earned throughout the years. How do you think you like went about developing it and earning it?
Like, I think it's really interesting to think about, like, well, what is creativity? Like, how would you define it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's combining ideas in a unique way and bringing something into the world.
Yeah. Love.
How would you define it?
Yeah. I think that that's spot on. I think that that's, like, as good as I can come up with at the moment. I think, like, a lot of around... yeah, making something happen that either doesn't exist already or, yeah, bending it or recreating it in a way that is aligned for you in the moment. And that, like, can change day by day, week by week, month by month.
Mm-hmm.
So earned and developed, like, yeah, like, I wasn't a good, wasn't, I think a lot of people think about creativity and arts related to, like, drawing. Like, I wasn't very talented in those things. But things that have felt creative have been podcasting for me. And I think like you and I are both a fan of the medium and, you know, it's going to be kind of meta. I'm sure we may talk about podcasting here on a podcast, but that for me has been a real opportunity to, you know, tap into a creativity muscle, to develop a muscle, to strengthen it, to try new things repeatedly. And in kind of a low stakes way. Like, I think like that's the cool thing about this medium is like, you know, it's a conversation. It's not a big budgeted production that, you know, is a billboard in Times Square. It's two people talking or more people talking. So yeah, podcasting for me, when I started in 2018, the Portfolio Career Podcast has been an incredible way for me to develop my creative muscle and on like a weekly basis. Like, that's what's so cool about this. I think it's been a practice, it's been a habit, it's been a routine, and it's not, as I mentioned, it's not expensive. A lot of many other people could, and many other people do. And like, that's totally cool. Like, we're totally allowed to utilize this platform of having conversations and making things that has been such a gift. It's been transformational for me. And I hope for the people that are listening that maybe they may explore the medium as well and hopefully have some of the benefits like I've gotten.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've inspired many others to give it a shot as well. So I want to talk a little bit about like how you decided to pursue the Portfolio Career Podcast and start it in the beginning. And even a little bit before that, because, you know, you were kind of on what people might look at as a more traditional finance career path and then even startup career path when you decided to make a change. I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about that time in your life.
Yeah, there's a couple moments here. Yeah, like around 2014. 2014 is when I decided to leave Washington, D.C. and move to San Francisco. And then when I moved out to San Francisco, as you mentioned, I started doing a lot more kind of startups. But that's also around that time is when I started kind of dabbling in a portfolio career life. Even before I moved out there, like as I was kind of like testing things to kind of my hypothesis of like, should I make the move? Should I go out there to San Francisco in 2014? I even started working as an Uber driver as a way to just like make some extra cash. And that was really fun. I had a full-time job, but like nights and weekends, just a little bit here and there, I was just kind of exploring it. And I thought it was so fun just to turn on an app, turn on my car and like see what happened. And at that time, that platform was really new, it was very growing. And so like, it was kind of lucrative, or relatively lucrative. It was just some nice extra cash. And that was really fun. Just this idea of like working when you want to, so to speak. And so then when I moved out to San Francisco in 2014, I was like, okay, no matter what, I feel like I could drive for Uber or something like that. And did a little bit of that, started working at a startup, and also then was doing some like real estate consulting as well. So like, as I was moving out there, I was kind of like figuring things out. But what I really liked, this kind of figuring out thing. And so it was like, I do some time in commercial real estate and investing. I would do some time working at the startup that was in its really, really early stages. And then I also was, you know, in the ride sharing industry for a little bit. So like, I was learning different skills, I was having different experiences, and yeah, it was going really, really well. And then this opportunity with a startup to really kind of go more full time and go more all in kind of slowly emerged, and that's what I did. Then that brought me here to New York in 2016, and then in 2018 started the Portfolio Career Podcast, and yeah, now here we are in 2024.
What's so interesting about your path, like to me, it's so inspiring because it feels like you really intentionally took yourself in a different direction and off a perhaps traditional path. And I think with that, there can be this letting go of a certain identity or like viewing your identity in a different way. And I feel like you've talked about this a little bit on your podcast, where sometimes when you ask someone who's living this portfolio career life, what do you do? Or you know, what are you... Yeah, like, what do you do? Like, it's an awkward question for them because it's like, well, I do this and I do that and I do this. And I feel like it does come back to this concept of identity. So I'm curious how you dealt with that in that time.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. that's why for a while, maybe I was asking people, first question in the beginning of my podcast for a while was like, if we were to go to a bar or an event tonight, how would you typically introduce yourself? And right. That was a hard question for people to answer, because that is a hard question. I think even if someone had a traditional path, like there's something about that question is like, it triggers a lot of things for people. But how did I navigate it? I think I've learned a little bit. It still is challenging for me. I think it's like, depending on where I'm at, like who I'm talking to. And I think, yeah, that's just like a good general approach, is like trying to be empathetic and thoughtful to the people that you're talking to. So like, yeah, if I'm in this one crowd, I'll say I do this. If I'm with some other people, I say I do this. Or maybe I don't even say anything about what I do. Ask other people questions. Yeah, like I think you don't have to answer the question when someone asks you it. That's the other thing too. You can kind of like bend, you can be creative, if we will, in our responses to these kind of questions. So
that's a low-key life hack.
Sometimes I'll just like say a bunch of random things, just trying to see what kind of resonates with someone. I think like, it's called like conversational threads. And so like I'll just like say like 10 things and just like then pause and see what kind of someone responds to. Like if someone's like, what do you do? It's like, today I went for a run. I just ate this for breakfast. I'm about to hop on a Zoom call. I'm wearing this blue shirt. I am about to publish a podcast episode. I am also about to host, and I just like host some events for Chiefs of Staff. I just say like a bunch of these things. I'm feeling this way. I, on a scale of 1 to 100, and it's like so random. And so I feel like I'm hoping or thinking that maybe something in there will someone will respond to, or they'll be like, oh, I want to talk about that. And I think that's the other thing, is like, people have these like maybe traditional questions that they ask. They don't maybe necessarily really, they do want to know those, but it's like an easy question to ask. So then maybe that's why they do. And they maybe are not as comfortable or confident to ask something else. So they kind of go to a default question, maybe similar to like a default path. And so I don't see it as as a bad thing. It's like, it's easy to ask. So then like, I'll just try to throw out a bunch of different things if I'm feeling inspired, and then hopefully see maybe one resonates in a really like strong way, and then we can talk about that.
Well, I love that approach. First of all, I love that life hack of like, you don't have to answer a question that you're asked, or you can create your own way of answering.
I was going to say, I'm not going to answer any of your questions for the rest of this podcast.
I love it. Understood. I resonate a lot with what you said on the concept of identity. And I feel like so many of us are so many different identities, really everyone, like every human, to your point, you know, has so many different facets of themselves, especially those in creative works and creative worlds and in portfolio careers. It can be a triggering question. So I definitely resonated when you wrote about that.
Thank you. Maybe there's a way to kind of empower other people to lean into these like micro identities that you're talking about. You know, and I think we do see it online. You know, I do think like the LinkedIn profiles say like podcaster, artist, author, investor, builder. Like, I think that's, you do see some of that. And, but maybe there's some other ways that we can approach that. But I think like being able to articulate like what you do and do it in a succinct way, or what you stand for, or what you're excited about, or what you're passionate about, there's definitely like benefits to being like clear and crisp to that too. Like the way if you can say something that's like very resonant to someone else and specific, like they're going to remember that. They will, maybe they can introduce you to someone. Maybe they'll like, yeah, who knows? Like, so I do think that there is a lot of benefit to kind of thinking about like maybe having 4 to 5 things that you commonly say, depending on where you are, like that could definitely have a benefit. I haven't thought too much about that, but maybe I should.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so one of the things that you mentioned in your intro, and you've also written about living a boring life and essentially having a practice, you're so like committed to the consistency of what you do. And I think for you, it's also like a lot on sustainability, like something that you can do for a long period of time. But I'm curious, was this something that came naturally to you? Is it something that you like really had to work at?
I think generally I've been pretty like consistent for many years. I don't get like easily excited about new ideas. I don't get easily excited about new fields. I don't get easily excited about new jobs, etc. So I think that this like definitely, it's not a surprise to me that I've published a new podcast episode basically every week for almost 6 years. There's a lot of other things that I do like this, but I do think, like, why the podcasting thing? It's like, I found that it has so many benefits to do it every week. And the benefits are, which I've started to do less and less of, but if we're talking about interviewing, like it's almost like a production system. It's almost like a manufacturing system that a car just gets like built in like a factory. It's like you put this part on, then this part, and then that part, and then it goes out in the conveyor belt, and then you just like keep this cycle going. So I think like when you have like quick feedback loops like this every week, like you learn a lot when it's like a tight feedback loop. So that's one thing, is like you learn quickly because it's not a long cycle. I think like there's many different companies that have like long product cycles, and product managers work on things for like 5 years, and then it goes to the go-to-market people, and then, you know, that stuff. So I think weekly is good because it keeps you on your toes. You're thinking about it often, which is good because I think that probably sparks new ideas. If it was like something you did every once in a while, you may not like think about it as much, but you know, new ideas come to me about related to the show, like when I'm in the shower and I'm running. I know that sounds cliche, but that's true. And for me, it's like there's something to talk about or something to share. Like it keeps that kind of muscle going for me and active. And then those episodes then go into a newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks. And so it's like a part of this like overall system. And that's been really like helpful and healthy for me. Mm-hmm. I think another thing is like, probably people like seeing new episodes every week from a listening perspective too. But again, like anybody can create any kind of podcast that they want. You don't have to do weekly. That's just kind of what I decided on and just kind of stuck with it, you know, as you said, a boring and simple life.
Yeah. But it's amazing because I think to your point on the benefits, sometimes it becomes easier when it's something that this is a rule and it's something that
totally. It's
in your life. You do it every week. There's no exceptions versus if you're like, oh, like, you know, here and there I'll do this. When it doesn't become like a hard and fast rule for yourself, it can be more challenging to enforce.
Yeah. And that ties into like the identity and stuff that you're talking about. Like I think of myself as a podcaster, and what do podcasters do? Like they publish episodes. Mm-hmm. What do creative people do? They put, they exercise their creativity muscle. So that's definitely something that I've thought about. And I do think like the genre of podcasting is generally like a weekly, although like these days, like many people have like multiple episodes a week, but I think like weekly is like kind of a common norm in like the field of podcasting.
Yeah. How have you kept yourself going in some of the challenging times? Have you gone through times, I'm sure you must have, where it's felt like a drag or where it's been a little bit more challenging? And if so, how did you keep yourself going during those times?
A shout out to everybody that's been on the show, because it is like since I started in 2018 till now, like there's been no shortage of crazy things that have been happening in the world. But somehow people have showed up for me and have said yes and have hopped on random Zoom calls with me. And it still kind of really blows my mind. And I'm super grateful for it. Things do pop up, surprisingly not as much as one would expect, but some things that I've done to as like backups. And also like the other thing, the weekly show, like I don't really record in batches. I've only many times it's like, I'd record on Friday and then I'd publish that the next Thursday. Like that is like common for me.
Wow.
Some weeks there's, or like many weeks, there's like a week, 2 weeks buffer, but not much more. I also feel like the content is fresh then. And, you know, I try to look for like a conversation catalyst. So like, let's say if like an author published a book, like I'd want to talk to them right around like when the book comes out. And like, you know, if it's 6 months later, 3 months later, 2 months later, like just like not as like new or fresh, and nothing against the author. It's just like, I think it's just good to have the new ideas out there when they happen. Or sometimes like someone goes through some kind of career change, et cetera. It's like you had this viral tweet or this viral LinkedIn post. Like I want to talk to you about that. And if it's been many months later, it like loses its like relevancy or it's not as like fresh in someone's mind, et cetera. So yeah, I've kind of liked that in real time nature of podcasting. And so, yeah, like I think that was the other benefit. It's like, it's kept me on my toes. Mm-hmm. It's kept me on my toes. It's like forced me to like each week or every other week, like send in a new like outreach email. And again, like I've started to do less and less interviews. I've been doing a lot more podcast mixers, which are live and cozy events with a little bit of podcasting. And so that's mm-hmm. been a little bit less on the outreach side, but that's still, so there's some moving parts of that too. But to answer your first question, I would read a book. That's one thing that I've done is like read a book that's like related to the show. And like if something happened or I wasn't able to get someone to say yes, which would have been my fault, I would read a book, summarize it, kind of analyze it, interpret it as an episode. And I don't know how many of those I've done, but maybe five or so. Sometimes there's been like calling friends or emailing friends. I can say like, hey, can we talk in like 2 days? I kind of need some help here. That's happened a little bit. Yeah, I think the other thing is like, yeah, I'm so surprised by who says yes and how often people say yes. I think a lot of it comes down to like I try to make it really easy for people to say yes. So I do a lot of prep work mm-hmm. and maybe that's a part of my creative process as well, but like do a lot of prep work up front to like try to make it easy for someone. Like they know what they're getting into. Like you did a really good job of this.
Thanks. Learn from the best. No, I love that. It's just really interesting to hear like, you know, over the years, how you've innovated through some of these challenges.
Yeah. I was going to say, and like now, like, I'm trying to do less and less virtual stuff. So I'm trying to do more and more in person. And so it's like, whether it's a podcast mixer, which is an event, or some other type of one-on-one interview. And even if the one-on-one's in person, like sometimes that's like me and a friend reading a book and talking about the book. Like I've definitely done some experiments there. And that's been a lot of fun too. So it's kind of like, what do I want to talk about or who do I want to talk with? And is there a topic of something that maybe me and a friend haven't talked about that we should talk about or could talk about, or it'd be a great conversation? Or yeah, that's been really fun over the last like 2 years of, yeah, it's just always experiments, which is just so fun. And you kind of never know where they take you.
I love that because you were mentioning like the experiments, podcast mixers, and what I have really observed on you is like you're so committed to in-person events and in-person experiences. It's just interesting the way we're living sometimes because it feels like sometimes you might have to choose like, do I do virtual or in person? And I'm curious for you, like where that decision has come from.
It's fun. These in-person podcast mixers, which I've done over 50 of them, has been really fun. It has, yeah, created like some really special events and conversations with people that like maybe they wouldn't have talked on Zoom. So that's the other thing that's cool is like I've been surprised by who says yes to coming to a podcast mixer and speaking at. Again, many of those are cold emails. And I think like in general, I think your question was around like, why did I start doing this? And why am I driven by in-person stuff? And yeah, I definitely think like the pandemic was like affected many people and in way worse ways than for me. But yeah, definitely felt disconnected and had friends move. And yeah, was trying to like rebuild my... Like one of the greatest things about living in New York, and you probably think this or may think this way too, is like, there's just a lot of incredible people here. And I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to make new friends. I wanted to see existing friends. And yeah, I've learned that like one way or one great way to do that is to invite them to an event. And so in July 15th, 2022, a friend had written a book. He had previously been on the podcast and I wanted to do something special for him. And I was like, can you come over and like, I'll like chat with you. We'll record it. There'll be some people there. Like maybe there'll be food. It was like a very like loose, unstructured kind of email. I was kind of I was fishing. I literally was like fishing for something to see what he'd bite. Going back to those like conversational threads that I was telling you about before, it's like sometimes you kind of just like throw out a bunch of stuff and kind of see what kind of sticks, which feels a little uncomfortable sometimes. But like, so in this case, he was like, which he's an incredible like early adopter, early believer in a lot of people. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. When? And who's coming? And so he did that. And then after it was over, he was like, this is amazing. You should keep doing this. People that attended, they started tweeting about it. And I was like, okay, like I should keep doing this. Like, how do I do the next one? And so then, yeah, maybe like a couple weeks later, the next podcast mixer was, and then kind of kept going, and new experiments have emerged from that. And new experiments are still happening after, you know, doing 50 of these. But I think like, being deep into the work and like thinking about that and trying things. And sometimes things pop up. And I think we were commenting a little bit around like constraints, but yeah, like one podcast mixer, someone was going to be a speaker at it. She had like a family emergency. And so then I was like, well, there's 20 people coming to this thing. Like, what should I do? Like, you know, everybody's got some kind of story or everyone's very interesting. I don't really know what to do here. And then I like called one of the friends I was going, and I was like, hey, I've got this other idea, kind of do like short stories on a topic. Like, do you have a short story that you could share? And then that kind of like born this kind of short story themed podcast mixers. But that was a constraint. That was like someone again, had a family emergency. I totally get it. But I was like, I still want to try something. There's 20 people that are coming. I don't want to cancel an event. And that then sparked like
a lot
more, you know, similar types of events, similar types of podcast mixers.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because you said earlier that you don't get excited about new ideas, or you don't get easily excited about new ideas, but you do such a good job of continuously evolving and experimenting, and you're just like not afraid to try things. You and I talked about this when I was starting my podcast. You're very good at just being open to where this might go and the evolution of it. I know this is something you've been talking about recently in some of your posts. You know, when I was starting my podcast, one of the things that you were telling me is be open, because you just don't know how it could evolve, and it doesn't have to be one thing or another.
Totally. Yeah, I think things change and you change. And I think that it's a skill that I've like earned, and it's been like a lot of this has been a journey of trusting myself. And I think that has been like all like many of these podcast mixers, it's like it may feel uncomfortable to me, but it's like it feels possible. I think if I was to, yeah, like if there's some other kind of event, other podcast mixer format, or like I think I've only usually like signed up or decided to host one that I thought was like possible, and they're like just on the edge of like maybe the existing one, or they like, you know, reconnected an idea or a conversation that I had like 3 to 6 months ago. So yeah, it may look like there's a lot of experiments, but like they are like in my mind obtainable. I think that's like one thing that I'm very like risk adverse. And yeah. And so, yeah, I usually don't just like put up a landing page and say, like, let's do this thing. There's going to be all these people. It's like, I get really, really nervous. And so, but I think that helps me. And obviously there's been so much support by so many people, but it's like, I'm very like focused on the details. And yeah, I think they're like obtainable. But it's definitely uncomfortable. But that's where I think creativity is on the edge of this. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. Having gone to so many of your events and being lucky enough to be part of that, it's interesting to hear you say like it can be nerve-wracking doing any kind of creative work. You're putting yourself out there, and it's very vulnerable. You're doing something, creating something in a lot of the community building events that you do. It's really for the purpose of giving to others, but you're putting yourself out there a lot, and that can feel very vulnerable.
Yeah. And I think I've learned a lot for myself. It's like, if you like when you raise the stakes, and a lot of that is like, and the same thing with podcasting, it's like, if there's an author, an entrepreneur, a thought leader that like I'm really impressed by, and they say yes to be on the podcast, it's like, okay, like I dive deep into the work. Like, I think that's a really good situation for both sides. It's like, I'm excited for it and I'm nervous for it. And like that forces me to level up. Similarly with a lot of the podcast mixers, it's like, I'm asking my friends to come and like, my friends are busy. My friends got a lot of cool stuff going on. And so I'm like, what, like, how do I make this worth my friend's time? And not just like, hey, just like, come on over. It's like, yeah, like I like want my friends to have a good time. I want my friends to say like, you know, I don't want them to just like pity me and say like, yeah, we'll come over. Like, I want them to have a good time. Like, I, that's been a part of this is like when I moved to New York in 2016 and then 2016, 2017, it's like, I didn't have cool friends. Like, I went out to bars, tried to make friends, and then I started making cool friends. And I was like, how do I keep hanging out with these cool friends? And thankfully then like the podcast helped me like talk to these cool friends about, you know, their portfolio careers and their lives and stuff. And like, that's, yeah, I've been trying to find more and more ways. Like, how do I do, like, how do I hang out with cool friends? How do I create experiences for my friends? Like, how do I do things to meet new, cool people? Like, that's definitely something that's on my mind.
Yeah. It's also just been so interesting to see like how, because of a lot of your own journey of intentionally creating your own life, you do so much to help others create their own lives and just like really reveal more optionality for people to understand, hey, there's different ways of approaching this. To me, it seems like so much of your innate personality is structured around giving to people and giving back. And I'm curious where that came from, if that was something always just within you or if it comes from your own experience of wanting to, you know, find your own place.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'm so glad that, you know, a community brought us together. And it's been, I haven't said it yet, but it's just amazing to see.
Same.
And then it's been amazing to see your journey. And I think it's like just getting started. And what episode is this? Like 15, 16, 17, something like that?
This will be like 21.
21. Wow. See, like, how cool is that? Like, I'm excited to see where you go with this. If you keep going with it, like, I think there's so much potential.
Thank you.
And yeah, grateful that a community brought us together. And the question is around like, where did my people pleasing tendencies come from?
Yeah, exactly. Where did they come from, David? I'm so curious.
I think we're, some of that's like wired into us, right? Like, I think, you know, what are like our human designs, our Enneagram tests, all those kind of fun assessments. I think like, a lot of that stuff is like, yeah, is how we're kind of like wired. But again, like, I think it's, we get information all the time about ourselves. And like, for me, it's like the podcast has been a lot about like building a muscle of, wow, this person will talk to me. Like that change, like slowly starts to like change who you think you are and who you think you can be. And I think like for all the creatives and creators that are out there that are listening to this, it's like you, creativity can help us become who we want to be. And the creative project of the podcast has definitely changed who I am, like hands down. And like, so if you were to think about 2017 David, 2016 David, like way different than 2024 David. I think that that's beautiful. So, and thankfully I've been able to find like a job that supports this or that's a good fit for this. Yeah, it's sometimes you just find these.
Yeah,
you find these fits and ride the waves while you can. Sometimes some people talk about like creativity is not in them right now, and like that maybe it emerges in a little bit. And so it's like right now, like trying to ride this wave as much as I can.
Yeah, well, I love what you said about creating is actually helping you create the life you want and creating, you know, change who you are as a person. Because I do think creativity is, in a lot of forms, it's like an expression of who you are, right? It's like so hard to describe like who someone is and describe like who you are to other people. And so I feel like in a lot of art, in podcasting and even in business, I think a lot of these creative acts are expressions of who we are. And it's our best attempt to try to put this into some form of words or, you know, not words. And it gives you the freedom to create yourself too.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like, you know with your music and, you know, in the corporate world too, like you know, the overlaps and synergies and, you know, the connecting of the dots there.
Yeah. So you were saying just before too, that you are in this fortunate position where you've got a job that is really very synergistic with your own personal creative pursuits as well. How do you think about monetizing creativity and podcast or community building? You know, we want to be able to support and have these things be sustainable. But sometimes then if you do pursue monetizing these like creative works, it changes the dynamic of it and it changes what the actual product is. I'm curious how you think about that.
Has it changed for you?
You know, it's something I'm continuously trying to get my own thoughts around. I would say for me, it's still something that I'm trying to sustain by having an income separate from my creative pursuits for right in this moment. But I think eventually I would love to make money from my creative pursuits. So it's a continuously moving target.
Yeah. How do you think you might be able to do that?
I don't have to answer every question that is asked of me.
Whoever said that is a genius. Yeah, I think that what's really cool about podcasting is like the Portfolio Career podcast itself, the actual show, has never made a dollar. But it's led to, you know, over time and indirectly it led to my current role and it led to a couple other roles too. So that feels like a good trade-off. And, you know, the skills that I have been building through the podcast are becoming increasingly relevant to my current job. So it's kind of helping me and vice versa. So that feels really good. Mm-hmm. It feels like, I think one challenge of that I've heard from some people around like building portfolio careers or working on different things is like, is there like a lot of context switching? And for me, it's like very, there's a lot of synergies and that's been a gift because, you know, the world is, things are complex, things are challenging, especially if you're trying to make things happen. But yeah, having a lot of like overlap has been helpful for me and I'm sure it's been helping my job. Like I'm able to like learn things on my own that then I can like, it helps sharpen my brain for work stuff. And like there's different things, ways to think about monetizing a podcast and nothing has really jumped out to me or made appealing to me or, you know, shown up in my inbox. If there is something, you know, send me an email. And I do think it changes too. So I think you're right. It's like, I don't want to change unless it's like something either I have to or something like really incredible shows up.
Yeah. But it has been really cool to see, like to your point, there's a lot of synergies in what you do. It's a great example, I think.
Thanks.
So, okay. I wanted to ask you this on the topic of how your podcast has been evolving. More recently, it seems like you're really very focused on also creativity, like community, creative pursuits, hinting at potentially a name change. How are you thinking about like the evolution of the podcast now?
Yeah, thanks for following along. I've been trying to, like, I'm definitely trying to like follow my intuition more. And that's why like I've been creating different episodes that are not like core traditional portfolio career episodes. But also I've been trying to, I think I've seen some really beautiful things on the internet by like allowing, like using the internet as a platform to invite feedback, invite ideas. So that was like my recent Substack post, which was around like, if I were to change the name, what should it be? It's like, I want to spark conversation. I'm curious what are other people thinking? And I've seen other people say like, hey, I've got this blind spot. Like, what should I do? Or like, does someone know someone here? Or like, can I get an introduction here? And like, sometimes just like magic appears. And so that was an attempt to try to like spark conversation and who knows what creative idea someone else has. I'm also like not the best at branding. I'm not the best at positioning. So I know that as well. And so that was another way to like potentially invite that in. But I also wanted to like kind of call it out to say like that things have been kind of changing and evolving. So yeah, that's been around like following intuition and just trying to do episodes that I think are fun, that are interesting and I think the in-person podcast mixers like creates different content that's like just not really around. And so that's been really fun. I think like creating stuff that like doesn't exist is really cool. You know, that is creativity, right? Is like creating something that does not exist, that you can't find elsewhere.
It really is. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been almost 6 years. So
we'll see what you come up with next. I'm excited. I think that even where you started too in the beginning, where you talked about like your creativity has been earned and developed. And I think I'm starting to really view creativity as well as a muscle and something that we develop. If you don't practice it, you're not going to have it. But if you do practice it, it is something that you can continuously get better and better at. And I think it's really cool to see, like, with your podcast and your community events are avenues that you have this ability to continuously build that muscle and experiment.
Yeah. And I think actually the other thing that we haven't talked about is like, so I started the podcast in a cohort-based course that initially was called the Podcasting Fellowship. Then it became called the Podcasting Workshop. And it was co-created by Seth Godin and Alex DePalma. Mm. And Seth has been daily blogging for, I don't know, don't quote me, but like call it 10 plus years. Like think about that, a daily blog every day for 10 plus years. And yeah, so I've been really inspired by him. I, you know, have learned a lot from him. And I think I've, you know, so impressed by everything that he's built and everything that he's created. And yeah, and he is a daily blog. And that's his creative practice, you know? And yeah, so I think like seeing that and being around that, like definitely I think has inspired me and influenced me to, you know, kind of keep going on a consistent basis. He's got a really great book called The Practice as well. I don't know if you've read that book that talks a lot about these kind of like continually showing up, continually creating work. Yeah, that the ideas in that book could definitely have like resonated with me a lot. Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out.
Yeah, no, it's a great book. And I think you are also a great example of all of this. I'm curious, as we wrap up, just how your views on creativity have changed over the years. If you have any like beliefs on creativity that have changed.
I think we can like talk about my creative process for some things, and that might be useful. So over the last year and a half, I've been writing a Substack newsletter. It's called Portfolio Career Substack Newsletter. And that's been a really fun way for me to like further express myself. Like I didn't really think of myself as a writer, but once I kind of moved my newsletter over there, it's like, oh, what do people do on this platform? They write. And what's been really fun is like, if it goes out on Sunday, usually like around like Tuesday or Wednesday, sometimes like I'll kind of post a video in my Instagram stories that's like kind of like a loose idea or something that's in my mind. And then kind of depending on how it feels after I put that out, like maybe I'm like, oh, maybe I should write about that. Or maybe it's something else. But then like, yeah, like knowing that I have this deadline, like the deadline, same thing with like the Thursday episode. It's like the deadlines like kind of like spark creativity for me. They like kind of like get into my mind and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I have to do something. Don't have to, but like, I want to do something. So yeah, then maybe like Wednesday or Thursday, I'm like, okay, like what's the title? What's the like thesis? And then like maybe the next day or two, I'll just like open up Apple Notes and I'll just start like almost like a thing that I would like text my friend or like an email that I would write to a friend. And yeah, just kind of like put stuff in there. And then it's like, oh, okay, here's a little something. And then by like Saturday, I'm like, okay, like let's put this into Substack. Like now there's actually something here. And then I'm like, okay, now I got 24 hours to like edit and then publish this. So yeah, like I'm not one of those people that get these like big downloads of like this like massive idea that like changes their worldview. A lot of stuff, yeah, like that goes back into like it's developed, it's cultivated, it's curated. Yeah, so I think like listening to myself, listening to some of these like little like threads that like kind of just like emerge and it's like, huh, yeah, this is kind of interesting. And then kind of like taking another little step with it, another little step with it. And then before you know it, maybe it's something you can publish about, or maybe it's like a new event, or it's someone else who you want, or I want to talk to on my podcast. Like that's kind of how it's been for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a more approachable way to approach to creativity, really, than like you have to wait for these big inspiring ahas. It's a more approachable, but also a much more disciplined way, which requires a lot of intention and consistency.
What's your process for your music? Is it similar?
Yeah. So my approach for my music, honestly, I've learned a lot of very similar practices in music, very similar to what you described in terms of how do you get better at writing songs? You get better at writing songs by writing songs, and they're going to be really bad. But if you continuously show up, so my process is, you know, I'm part of an online community that writes one song a month and just try to continuously write one song a month and sometimes more. But here and there, I write songs that I like, but mostly I'm still writing some songs that are still kind of working through that stage of development. But yeah, I mean, I think also similar to what you said, if you wait for your creativity or for big ideas or inspiration to strike, that happens sometimes, but it doesn't happen consistently. So if you instead put yourself consistently in front of the writing or put yourself in the situations where you need to actually create something, you'll start to see that, wow, actually, you can come up with things. And I do think also similar to what you said, deadlines really help. So these are all things that I've really been learning as well.
Cool.
Well, David, thank you so much for being on this podcast. First of all, I really genuinely appreciate it. And thank you for the impact you've had on my life. I mean, this podcast would not be a thing without you. One, without your example out there in the world, and two, without your support. So I truly appreciate it.
Likewise, Jenna, it's been amazing to chat and it's amazing to see you make this happen. I think that there's a lot of people that have ideas, but yeah, you've executed on it. And here you are with episode 20, 21, 22. And I think that that's just a testament to who you are. And it's just really, you know, beautiful to witness. And I'm excited for what's ahead for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my episode with David Nabinsky. To learn more about David, check out his website, davidnabinsky.com, check out his podcast, The Portfolio Career Podcast, and subscribe to his newsletter. Thanks for listening.